Welcome to The Excellent Fiduciary, a podcast from Roland Criss, where we explore what it takes to meet and exceed the demands of managing a retirement plan in today's complex market. Now, let's begin today's show with an introduction from our Roland Criss host.
Fiduciary liability insurers have apparently taken notice of the recent surge in lawsuits leveled against employers and their executives for allowing excessive fees to be charged to the retirement plans they sponsor and manage. They've acted in a way that threatens liability coverage for thousands of plan fiduciaries, adding a whole new dimension to their legal exposure. Hi, I'm Ron Hagen. I'm chairman of the Risk Standards Committee at Roland Criss. In this episode of the Excellent Fiduciary Podcast, I want to alert executives who manage corporate retirement plans, especially those who have the legal role of plan administrator, to a sudden and dramatic increase in their vulnerability. Fiduciary liability insurers are now making pointed inquiries based on a playbook that is used by the attorneys who file breach of fiduciary duty lawsuits against employers for excessive fees. This new generation of questionnaires that we've seen cover the same type of questions as previously when an insurer will renew its coverage with an employer. But now the questionnaires are getting into areas such as how fiduciaries are selected, as well as whether a periodic review is conducted, including benchmarking, to determine the reasonableness and competitiveness of fees of service providers, and in particular, the record keepers. The questionnaires also are asking for how often and how is documented the record keeping for each plan and when it is calculated and how it applies on a per capita basis. Now, there are detailed questions about revenue sharing as well, including whether a process is in place to recoup excess compensation for the benefit of participants, and request to describe all of those processes. All want to see a copy of the 408B fee disclosure that the vendors provide to the retirement plan fiduciaries. Now, these questions contained in the insurance underwriters' questionnaires aren't just asking what. In some key litigation issues, they're pressing for why and why not. For example, they not only ask if the plan offers any index funds in the investment portfolio, but if not, they want to know why. They want to know the rationale. Similarly, they ask if the plan is offering the least expensive share class available to the plan for each fund and to explain the rationale if it is not. Now, more pointedly, they're pressing for confirmation that the plan doesn't use any funds that are proprietary to an affiliate of the record keeper or investment consultant. And if that confirmation is not forthcoming, to please describe the process used to ensure the independent evaluation of that kind of investment. Some insurance underwriters are inquiring as to whether there have been any online or social media solicitations of their employees to contact a law firm about their defined contribution plan fees or investments. But all are asking about any communication by a law firm involving fees. Now, all in all, the various questionnaires that we've seen not only follow the roadmap outlined by the plaintiff bar in excessive fee lawsuits, but they seem to presume as correct or right or prudent the positions that have been staked out by the lawyers in these cases rather than the law. And it's sure to cost plans and plan fiduciaries more. Well, risk-taking is the integral part of sponsoring a qualified employee benefit plan such as a 401k or a 403b plan. The risk appetite of any employer defines how much risk an organization will take on overall. Retirement plan committees generally are faced with the challenge of deciding which risks it makes sense to embrace, and these will primarily be those risks the organization owns, and by that I mean those risks which it is equipped to manage and exploit. I am concerned that many retirement plan committees, however, have not consciously made a decision about their risk tolerance boundaries. Well, risk is a simple word, but, and let's face it, it embraces a complex web of potential liabilities that are often stimulated by the very nature of the retirement plan business. The responsibility for constructing a fiduciary risk management system really embraces an organization's finance, human resources, and information technology executives. I've observed that those who demonstrate strong leadership gain an understanding of the scope of the threats they face, and they can counter business, regulatory, and cybersecurity threats with these steps. And here are five I'd like to pass on to you that are observed in our own experiences here at Roland Criss. First of all, plan fiduciaries who develop advanced risk management systems that embrace the risk threats I've just mentioned are learners. They continue to operate at a high level by understanding regulatory and business issues that mix to create risk for the enterprise. Secondly, they're good at prioritizing risk management, raising it to a level of focus and attention throughout the entire retirement plan management complex. Thirdly, they take the time to assess where gaps between current policies and risk management procedures might exist, and oftentimes employing a third-party experts where in-house assessment experience in a risk category is lacking. Fourth, risk management systems don't all come in one size, and they certainly don't all fit all containers. So the properly equipped fiduciary organization has a framework of internal controls for risk management that's unlike the controls needed to comply with other threats that an enterprise faces. They're unique to the retirement plan industry. And then finally, high-level, highly functioning, effective risk management committees in the retirement plan space monitor their risk system for early warning of threats developing using automation where possible to ensure that standards and persistence are maintained. The days of spreadsheets and manual methods for maintaining progress and activities in the fiduciary community are fading in the face of new automation tools. Well, measuring risk management success based on the lack of regulatory or litigation problems alone offers no guarantee that adverse action won't emerge. A carefully monitored risk management framework is the only way to achieve and maintain calm assurance at the fiduciary committee level. And that's proving to be especially true in today's environment. Many observers to the pension and retirement plan industry agree that the big financial crisis that we faced back in 2008 and 2009 was caused in great measure by risk culture failures. The lessons learned in the aftermath of that difficult period reveal to us that an employer's philosophy about risk can have a profound impact on the destiny of an enterprise and, for sure, the retirement readiness of its employees. The culture of enterprises in this new risk management era that's been developing over recent years has some definable elements. We put them together in a report. There are 10 of them together, and you may, in fact, obtain a copy of that report by reaching out to me following this podcast. But I'll go ahead and summarize for you right now what these 10 definable elements are. First of all, a distinct and consistent tone from the top of the organization will define the boundaries of risk-taking decisions. And from the top could be the board, it may be the C-suite, collection of information, technology, finance, and even the chief operating officer's chair to help define the boundaries of risk-taking tolerance within the employee benefit area. Number two, the organization's commitment to performing ethically with its principles, its practices, and policies will clearly define what the executive class is expecting out of the retirement plan area. Thirdly, the degree to which managing risk has accountability across the organization is integral in the enterprise's policies and procedures. It should be. Fourth, risk reporting, we find, is transparent and encouraged, not covered up and not acted as if risk never exposes itself. Fifth point on that 10-point list is the impact of adverse effects and what I will call near misses are used to create teachable moments for the executive class and certainly the retirement plan committee. Risk-taking is rewarded. It's rewarded within the boundaries of the organization's risk appetite. It stands to reason that we need to have definition of those boundaries in order to be able to define risks when they occur and how they are responded to. Risk management skills are valued, encouraged, and developed. And risk management is properly resourced. Well, the risk culture is also periodically challenged from different perspectives. It's common in many organizations, if not most, to relegate the retirement plan fiduciary role to the human resources area. In those organizations that have a high-performing risk management system, we find that the risk culture for the retirement plan arena is fed by perspectives from different units within the business organization. Well, now, in addition to regulatory activity that the Employee Benefit Security Administration has focused on retirement plans in increasing intensity in recent months, lawsuits that allege the violation of fiduciary duty continue to grow in number, and in recent years, those kinds of lawsuits have been filed against 403B plans as well as 401K plans. By any measure, enterprise risk related to ERISA-qualified benefit plans is worthy of a high priority that's typically assigned to other regulatory programs such as those administered by OSHA and the EPA. Some evidence exists, however, that employers are not yet adjusting to a paradigm shift in the degree to which employee benefit plans expose an organization to liability. For example, despite persistent growth in the number of well-publicized adverse regulatory and legal actions against organizations for breach of their fiduciary duty, recent lawsuits reveal that the targeted organizations have not yet fully learned the lessons taught by the experiences of others. Many simply rely on past experiences in setting their risk priorities, evidencing a philosophy that indicates the way things have always been done is the way we will do things, or even by a collective consensus that arrives at acceptable ranking of risks. But the pattern of risk management that adjusts to the changing environment rewards senior leaders who match risk appetite with their internal controls that measure not only what is being done, but also how it's being accomplished. Well, I think it might be a good time for me to summarize where we are. The point I want to make today is that the legal community's persistent emphasis on fees paid by retirement plans to their service providers has set the stage for a turn in the vulnerability of the individuals who oversee retirement plans. If liability insurance underwriters continue on the path they seem to be headed, the personal safety of employers, human resources executives, and the others from other business units who serve on retirement plan committees will suffer. The solution for every enterprise that sponsors a qualified retirement plan can be summarized in three action steps. They include: get help from an unbiased third party to evaluate the fees and services that your plan's record keeper, investment advisor, and participant investment advice provider charge. If the party conducting the assessment is independent, that is, if it doesn't offer any of the services that I've just mentioned, then you can have confidence that the results of their analysis will be defensible. The insurance community is telling us by its actions that benchmarking fees alone will not satisfy their coverage requirements going forward. And so as we wrap up today's podcast, I'd like to make available to you help in this area. Roland Criss conducts independent vendor analyses, and we use these findings from litigation cases and the requirements of fiduciary liability underwriters to guide our methodology. And you may ask for our report that deals with what the term reasonable fees has come to mean in today's changing market. And you may obtain a copy of that by sending your request to me at excellentfiduciary@rolandchriss.com. Well, thank you for listening to this podcast. Go to our website for more topics about the role and duties of fiduciaries who serve employee benefit plans qualified under the Employee Retirement Income Security Act. So join us next week, and until then, I hope you have a great day.